Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Dave Spano, CEO of NX Wealth Management, joins us this morning. Dave, thanks for taking time out of your day.
What a beautiful day. Thanks for having me on.
Indeed. So both major political parties, both candidates, have embraced proposals to eliminate income taxes on tips, a move that could, in effect, subsidize tipping and prompt even more businesses to rely upon it. What are your thoughts on tipping and taxes, Dave?
Well, I do think it's funny, of course, not to be partisan, but of course, you know, Trump came out with it and then Kamala came out with it. Yeah. And it is interesting. You know, they're trying to win the Nevada vote, and that's really where that started. But, you know, I did some research on this when I heard it. And the IRS estimates that there is $1.66 billion in tip income that is not reported. So nearly 90% of those who have tipped income say they underreport. So you have to look at it in who's getting tips, right? So it is a small percentage of Americans that in the workforce that do get tips. And the median income, according to the IRS, is $538 for tipped workers. So they are skewing to the lower income side of folks, right? Mm-hmm. And they certainly skew younger. So those two things are interesting because if you don't tax income and they're lower anyways, you know, most folks under a certain threshold are in the 0 to 10% income tax bracket, right? And then even with that, then there's this earned income tax credit. So, you know, you read a lot about how the bottom 50%, you know, don't pay income taxes. That's the reason why. It's not that, you know, they're not paying payroll taxes, right, or their tax scoff laws. What they're really doing is they're on the lower income tax bracket because it is graduated up, you know, for the higher income tax income earners to pay more tax. So the lower income tax people, not only do they pay lower taxes, but there's an earned income tax credit. So what does it really mean, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like a partisan political ploy, really. Mm-hmm. And what's it really going to mean to some people? You know, the flip side of it, if this would go through, who would say, I want to get tipped, right?
Right.
What if, your dentist says, yeah, you know, I did a great job. Can I have a tip, right?
Yep.
And they flip that thing around like they do everywhere else and say, hit 10, 15, or 20%. Could you imagine such a thing?
Yeah, it's just another revenue driver for so many people.
Yeah, it would. I think it's ripe for an issue to say who can get tipped and how can they get tipped, and you know go to your dentist or anyone else, your mechanic, and he flips the thing around and says, I'd like a 20% tip, and they know that's tax free. That would be pretty interesting.
Yeah, without a doubt. Always some politics at play, definitely. So you think is the consumer kind of starting to shake its collective bad mood a little bit? I saw something in the Wall Street Journal. They asked 1,500 voters about their feelings about the economy, and 34% said it was improving, up from 26% right early in July. You know, what are you seeing out there?
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, I did read that article as well. The Wall Street Journal is a go-to, but yep, we read it, and I was interested in it, and I was wondering if there was a couple of things that went into it. Number one, as you just said, is it a partisan thing? I mean, if half the country is blue and half the country is red, and now the Democrats are excited about mm-hmm. their opportunities, did that change their outlook economically? That could be part of it. Or the other thing is it could be economics, right? The average price of gasoline has certainly come down. It's the lowest level since the summer of 2021. So people might be feeling better about it. But there's just no doubt if you did another survey and said, are your grocery bills too high? Yes. You know, is your education and healthcare costs too high? Yes. And are houses unaffordable? Those are all yeses. So that hasn't changed. And so I am interested that the timing of this, could it be, as you know, the 1,500 that they asked were voters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yep,
is it a partisan thing? Are they feeling better about their party? And normally, I will tell you, Jeff, normally this is what happens. Both sides think they can win. Both sides get promises from their side, and the market begins to rally. But September generally has a lot of volatility to it.
All right. There's a big wealth transfer coming. When we come back, we'll talk to Dave Spano about the $80 trillion plus in a great wealth transfer that is on the horizon. Some members of the millennial and Gen Z generations are poised to receive hundreds of thousands of dollars or even millions of dollars. And how should they tackle that? This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Dave Spanos, CEO of Annex Wealth Management. Dave, a lot of baby boomer parents and grandparents have done pretty well in the last few decades, amassed unprecedented wealth, and it may be time to pass some of that wealth along to kids and grandkids. What do you, let's say somebody inherits $250,000 from their wonderful Uncle Jim. What are the specific next steps that they need to take?
Yeah, well, first of all, there's a lot of steps that go into it, but who is going to get this money is really going to be interesting, Jeff, because, yeah. You know, they certainly, I've read the number 80 trillion, I've read 30 trillion, and I've read 100 trillion. No matter what, there's going to be a wealth transfer, right? And who gets it? So there has been a lot of studies that said, unfortunately, maybe Gen Z and the millennials won't get it. Gen Xers are going to get it. That is what the study said, is that money is going to go to Gen Xers. And if you look at how it's distributed, they're mostly going to be small distributions. I know it says $80 trillion, but you have to remember there's estate taxes that are done. There's gifting that has been done. Mm-hmm. But what happens to that money and who gets it? So that's one of it. You know, the people who are going to get it mostly looks like it's going to be 45 and up. And most of those folks have a plan in place. They've started to save for a house. They started to save for retirement. So they could just add to their current plan. Mm-hmm. But if you haven't started that, obviously, and you get a check from, was it Uncle Jim?
Uncle Jim, I just used,
Uncle Jim,
yes.
Do you have an Uncle Jim?
Oh, I do, yes.
All right.
Wishful thinking, that's right.
Yeah, you better be nice to Jim, yeah. So, you know, first of all, it's an emotional process. It's a financial impact. So you cannot go into this without a plan. You know, consult with whoever, you know, your lawyer, your accountant, your financial advisor. Get a plan together. Just don't go by the seat of your pants. First of all, what you want to do perhaps is if you have high interest debt, perhaps pay some of that off. You know, obviously a diversified portfolio. Make sure the taxes are in order because there's a lot of planning that goes into place here. So if that's going to happen, you should start with a financial advisor. Make sure that it fits into your plan. Pay off debt. Make sure the portfolio is right, that the taxes are right. And make sure your own estate plan is in place. And I mean, we see so many people. I read 50% of Americans don't have a simple will in place. So, you know, do some of your own estate planning as well. And that obviously not to make this a pitch, but that's what comprehensive wealth management firms do. They talk about all of these things, estate planning, tax planning, investment planning, and inheritance.
Yeah. Use it as an opportunity to get everything in order for sure. I mean, you mentioned paying down debt as a priority. A lot of people, I mean, we've gotten some talking text line questions on it with the data breaches the last couple weeks. Yeah. So a lot of advisors have suggested freezing credit no matter what. What do you advise there?
Well, it's not a bad idea to do that, to be proactive, right, and protect your passwords. You know, remember the story of the guy's password was password, right?
Yeah.
You know, change them. Don't reuse them. You know, do use multi-factor authentication. Do all of these things. Watch your credit report. You know, there's a lot of ways to do that and make sure you do it. And a lot of times the credit cards will allow you to have that as well. So make sure you monitor it. You know, make sure you monitor your credit report. And freezing your credit is not a bad idea. I mean, especially if you get suspicious activity. If someone tries to file a tax return, if you see a gas station in New Jersey this morning when you're not in New Jersey, these are the things that you have to watch, right? So creditor monitoring services, alerts, you know, check your accounts regularly. These are just the things to be proactive. And you should do all of that because the data breaches aren't going to slow down and you have to protect your information.
Right. And that stolen data typically ends up on the dark web where hackers are going to dump the information and often attempt to resell it. So you got to be mindful on it. What, just quickly here in about 15 seconds, what else do we have to look forward to this week?
I think we're certainly going to have to talk about economically. We have to watch the unemployment. We have to watch for sure the inflation numbers because the Federal Reserve job is going to move from inflation now to employment, and these are going to be the big deals.
All right. Dave Spano, CEO of Annex Wealth Management. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.